Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
All right, I need you to take your phones out. I know that's not the way that most people start off their sermon, but that's what I need you to do today. So if you have a phone, take it out for me, would you please? Just hold it in whichever hand you prefer, and I'm going to tell you what to do with it here in a second, but I do need that phone out for a minute. Have you noticed that it's hard to find a seat in second service? Today is a little less, but the first two weekends of this year, we averaged pretty close to 700 people in second service. Yeah, that's pretty great. Across the two services, we're averaging right around 950 over the first two Sabbaths of this year. So you can see where less than 300 in first service. We were having close to 700 in second service. And that can make it difficult to find a seat here in the auditorium. So we wanted to go ahead and ask those of you who come to second service a couple questions. So if you have your phone, if you would tap the little button on the seat that's in front of you, if you're on the front row, you can turn around and tap if you want there. And it's going to pull up our link tree that has a bunch of different things. But what you're going to see is a survey. The first thing on there is going to be a survey. I'd like you to click on that. It's going to take you less than 60 seconds to fill out. We'd like to get a little bit of feedback because you might be happy being crowded, but sometimes when we have guests show up for the first time, they're like, ooh, I'm just going to turn around and walk away because there's no space and I don't know, that's not very fun. So we're just trying to kind of come up with some solutions. Are there people who are willing to maybe go, hey, I like coming to second service, but I can come to first service, or do we need to add a third service somewhere? So we're just going to ask you some questions that help us as we're thinking about what to do about a really great problem. So while you're doing that, I want to remind you that One Blood has their big red bus here. And so if you're willing to donate blood, they would appreciate it. You'll make a difference in this world. And I know they will really super appreciate that. And they happen to be, for those who do donate blood, I do think they have some magic tickets that they're giving today. So go donate blood, do that. And then if this is your first time here, we're so glad you're here. We are, this year our theme is Greater Things, and we're talking about how God has led this church. This church, this year is our 100-year anniversary. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And we believe God has done really great things with this church over the last 100 years, and we believe that God has even greater things for us to do as we move forward waiting for Jesus to return. And so this sermon series has been talking about our direction as a church. The first Sabbath, I talked about what greater things means. Last Sabbath, I talked about what it means to have a mission statement and what this church's mission statement is. This week, I'm going to be talking about this church's values. Next week, I'm going to be talking about what it means to grow in Jesus, because we have an expectation that church isn't just a place to get together and like a club or something like that. We believe that church's purpose is to help us get closer to God and to each other. And so we want you to be growing closer to God. And we want to talk about what that looks like and how we go about doing that here at Whole Life. And then the final week, we're going to be talking about the vision. What is the next 10 years of Whole Life's history? Where do we think God may be taking us? And so we want to talk to you about that over the rest of this month of January as we kick off our Greater Things theme for this year. So hopefully at this point, you've had a chance to fill that survey out, and I can have your attention back here. So let's go ahead and bow our heads as we start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you very much. We thank you so much for the chance to be together as a family, and we pray that you would be here in this place. We pray that you would speak and we would hear. Lord, as we talk about our values, Lord, may they be more than something we talk about. May they be something we truly live. We pray in your name. Amen. So you do know this is Martin Luther King Jr., holiday weekend, right? Monday, we celebrate Martin Luther King's life. We celebrate his legacy. We celebrate what he accomplished here in the United States. And one of the things that I love about Martin Luther King Jr. was his commitment to caring about the least of these. His commitment to standing up and saying, that isn't okay. And he put his life, literally gave his life for the things that he believed in. Martin Luther King Jr. understood that sometimes powerful people have to be stood up to. But what I appreciate about MLK was this: he believed in doing it peacefully. That doesn't mean that he didn't believe in breaking unjust laws, because he did, but he believed in doing it in a peaceful manner that brought attention to injustice and discrimination in this world. And many years after his passing and after what he accomplished through the civil rights movement, we would probably be wise this weekend to not just take the day off and have a good time with our families, but to actually spend a little time thinking about his legacy and what it means for today. Because one of the things that we know is that if we don't learn from the past, we repeat the past. And we are living in a time where I think we need to meditate on this pretty deeply. What does it mean to stand up and say, no, that's not okay, and to do it in a peaceful manner, the way of Christ? And it's something that we need to think about this weekend. I hope you will take some time out to do that. And today, as I start off talking about values, I came across Martin Luther King's sermon from 72 years ago, February 28, 1954. Dr. Martin Luther King preached a sermon titled Rediscovering Lost Values at Detroit's Second Baptist Church. It's not one of his well-known speeches or sermons, but I think it should be. It's brilliant. And while I'm not going to be preaching his sermon today, I would encourage you, if you have the time today or this weekend, to go listen to it. You can find it on YouTube. If you just Google the title of this sermon, you will find the transcript of it. You can read it for yourself. And you can, like I said, on YouTube, you can actually hear him preach the sermon. It's pretty incredible, and I highly recommend it. But I'd like to share with you a short excerpt from that sermon that I think is very important as we talk about values. Dr. King in his sermon talks about how Jesus' parents lost track of him. You remember that story in Luke where Jesus goes to the temple, his parents go on a trip to Jerusalem, Jesus winds up in the temple, he starts actually putting on a PhD level lecture to the PhDs, yeah, and he gets caught up on it. And his parents are like, well, it's time to go home. Jesus must be somewhere around. And they take off and they get a couple days down the road before they know he's not with them. And Dr. King talked about how in order for Jesus' parents to move forward, they had to go back and find Jesus. They had to go back to find Jesus in order for them to actually to be able to move forward. And in that sermon, he said this, Dr. King did, the great problem facing modern man is that the means by which we live have outdistanced the spiritual ends for which we live. So we find ourselves caught up in a messed up world. The problem is with man himself and man's soul. We haven't learned how to be just and honest and kind and true and loving. And that is the basis of our problem. And I wish that 72 years later, it was not still the basis of our problem, but I believe it is. He continued by saying the real problem is that through our scientific genius, remember 72 years ago, we have made the world a neighborhood, but through our moral and spiritual genius, we've failed to make of it a brotherhood. Underline that. The world is a smaller place today than it was then. We are a neighborhood, but are we a brotherhood? My friends, all I'm trying to say is that if we are to move forward today, We've got to go back and rediscover some mighty precious values that we've left behind. So from this profound and deep quote, I want to go to this video. The sermon series that I'm doing, a metaphor for this sermon series could be bowling. And if that's the metaphor, what are the values in this, in that video that you watch? What would symbolize values in that video? You guys are a lot quieter. Maybe you learned from first service. They yelled it out and I told them they were wrong. Say it again. What is? Luck? No? Oh, there's somebody said it. Somebody said guardrails. So in this, if we're thinking metaphorically, what are values in that? And you said guardrails. And I want you to know, when I was preparing the sermon, when I found this video, I specifically picked this video because I said values are like the guardrails. And then I read through Dr. King's sermon, and I realized I was wrong. I believe I'm wrong. I actually believe that values are the lane. So if we're using the thinking metaphorically, I believe in this metaphor. Your mission is to win the game, to bowl 300. That's the mission. The vision, your vision helps you get to your mission. So the vision is to get a strike. That's the vision. The growth pathway we'll talk about next week. But I believe the values are the lane. They are the lane. And why do I say that? Well, because values don't enforce themselves. Remember, one of Enron, you guys remember that company named Enron? You remember they had some kind of major ethical problems? They remember this? You know that two of their values were integrity and respect. But that didn't keep them going into the gutter. Because values are a pathway and the bumpers are you. You are what makes sure that that ball doesn't go into the gutter. You have to enforce values if you want to have them. You have to choose, because that ball, you can know the lane, but that ball, but if you put up bumpers, if you choose to have the bumpers up, you can hit those bumpers and you'll knock the ball back and you can even get a strike if the bumpers are up. But if the bumpers are down, not so much. You following me? We can talk about values all day long. They're the lane. But the question is, are we going to put our bumpers up? Are we going to say, this is our value and we're going to live by it? You're going to hold me accountable to it and I'm going to hold you accountable to it. We're not just going to say we have a value. We're actually going to enforce it in the kindest, most gentle way possible. So what are Whole Life's values? We have five of them. We have updated our values. Last year, if you came here, I would have told you our values are God, integrity. That's my personal values. Sorry, my bad. Let me start over. Love, acceptance, forgiveness, grace, worship, participation in the Bible. And last year, we sat down with our church and really had a rethink about who we are and what we are. Our values haven't changed, but we decided they needed to be updated to reflect where we're at right now. And I think that if you think through it, you will see where all the values that I just named off, love, acceptance, forgiveness, grace, worship, participation in the Bible, you can find them in the values that I'm about to share with you. I'm not going to tell you where they plug in. You can use your brain and think about that. And if you can't figure it out, come talk to me and I'll tell you where they plug in. But we have five values that I want to share with you today and that I would like for you to hold me accountable to and that I want to hold you accountable to as a church. Our first value is the value of inspiration. We are inspired. We believe God is speaking in many ways through the Bible, prayer, nature, meditation. Did anybody hear God speak through the music this morning? Yes. Godly individuals who speak into our life. And our role is to listen and to act. There's so many Bible verses that will back this up, but Psalms 85:8 is the one I chose to pull out. You can, if you're looking at the slide, you're more than welcome to take a picture of it. We'll also be posting this on our website, so you can find it there as well. The Bible says, I listen carefully to what the Lord God is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people, but let them not return to their foolish ways. You see, you can listen, you can hear, but not listen. And inspiration is more than God just speaking to us. It's actually letting God transform us and change us. We believe at this church that the Bible is where conversations begin, not where they end. Too often you'll go to a Bible study or you'll be somewhere and somebody will say, well, the Bible says it and that settles it. Does the Bible say that? You've quoted me one verse, but you know there's a lot of Bible. And too much bad theology is centered around one or two verses taken out of context. And too often we're like, oh, but I know this is what the Bible says. I've always been, let's have a conversation. Jesus did say, the Bible does say, come, let us reason together. Instead of shutting people down when they have a different theological idea than you do, it is helpful to say, tell me more. Can I share my perspective? Why do you believe what you believe? So is it possible for us as a family with humility to just let the Bible be where our conversation begins and not just shutting it down right there? Well, I know that the seventh day is the Sabbath. We're not talking about this anymore. How helpful is that to somebody who's trying to figure things out? Oh, well, I guess that's your opinion. I'm going to move on. Where's the discussion? Where's the conversation? Faith is a journey of curiosity. We just don't want to be memorizing scripture. We want to be transformed by that scripture. It's why we have biblically based sermons. It's why we have the response at the end of the sermon where we give you the opportunity to ask questions. It's why we have a podcast where we go deeper into questions that you have rather than just saying, don't worry about it. Ken said it. You got to believe it. By the way, if you ever do that, shame on you. Don't you dare believe what I tell you. You study for yourself and think about it. I've been wrong more than once in my life. I'm getting up sharing with you the best I can what I hear God saying in my life, but that is not an excuse for you to sit back and not let God speak to you and to question what you hear. You should. I encourage it. I'm more disappointed in you if you don't question it than if you do. We have small communities that are encouraging thinking out loud together. It's one of the reasons why when we have a baptism, we ask the person being baptized to share their testimony in a video to share with you because we want you to be inspired through their story. And think about, even if you've been baptized, think, oh, wow, God is doing incredible things in people's lives. Or maybe you haven't been baptized, think, well, maybe God does want me to get baptized too. I can relate to that person. We want you to be inspired. We want you to be transformed. We want you to be listening to God's voice. I truly believe God has something to say to you, and he wants you to grow. We believe in being inspired. And so is the Bible one of our values? Absolutely. It's a part of inspiration, and we also think you need to be praying. That's a part of inspiration. Music, godly music, all these things work together for us to be inspired and hear God speaking to us. Our next value is inclusion. We are inclusive. When we say all are wanted, we mean all means all. Therefore, we strive to create an accessible space for all. Paul talked about this in Galatians 3:28. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ. And if Christ came for all, then our church has to serve all, not some, not those that we think have cleaned up enough, not those who we think are sinful. Our sin is so much better. I may gossip, but at least I don't. We want to remove barriers that keep people from walking into a church. It's one of the reasons why you will see our staff not always dress up in a suit. I'm wearing a t-shirt today. Why? But you know that's a barrier for some people to show. You know that a lot of people don't own suits today? By the way, I don't. If you wear a suit to church here, yay. You see a lot of different people coming, a lot of different. The point is, we want you to come and be here in God's presence and experience God. That's what we want. Be here. We want people here. You know, a little while ago, we had a mother show up in this church with a child who was on the autism spectrum. One of our staff members noticed that the child was really struggling during our church service. Our church services sometimes are a little bit noisy. And the child was struggling. They were acting out. And the staff member went and grabbed a pair of headphones out in the lobby. You do know that we have earplugs and we have noise silencing headphones out in the lobby. Went and grabbed that and brought it and said to the mom, would it be okay? Do you think your child would like, this would be helpful? And they, she said, oh, yeah, I think it would. Put them on the child. The child immediately was like, good, good. The mom started crying, said to my staff member, do you know how many churches have kicked us out because my child acted out and they said they didn't want the distraction in church and told us to leave? It breaks my heart. Are you kidding me? Does that mother not deserve to have time with Jesus? Does that child not deserve? Family, we got to love people. When the child is acting out in front of you, instead of being annoyed by it, can you ask the parent if they, hey, can I help? Do you need anything? Are you okay? I'm so glad you're here today. It must have been hard to get here. Can we care about people? Can we be more interested in what that mother's going to get out of the service than what I'm getting out of the service because I'm a mature Christian and I can handle it? I'm proud of this church. I'm proud of this church because you get it, because we're inclusive. I'm proud when I walked to the back of the church months ago up to a couple. It was a part of the LGBTQ community. And I said, I'm glad you're here. And they looked at me and said, are you? I said, yeah. And they said, look, we get that you probably don't agree with a bunch of stuff with us. But we've been looking for a place where we can get closer to Jesus. And we've been told a lot of places we're not welcome. And we're not asking you to change your beliefs, your theology. We're not asking. We just want a place where we can get closer to Jesus. Is this that place? Because we were told it was. We had a colleague that we worked with that told us we'd be safe here. Are we? Yes, you are. You are wanted here. We want you here. I said, tell me your colleague's name because I want to go thank them for letting you know this is a great place to be. And I went up to that colleague who is, by the way, a new member of our church. And I said, man, I am so thrilled that you invited your friends to be here and that you trusted us. And she said, you told us it was. I believed you, so I asked. And thank you for backing it up and not just saying it, but living it. We are inclusive. And can I just say one more thing? Inclusion is two parts. There's me being inclusive to you, but you've got to choose it too. Okay? You've got to choose it too. If you want to walk in here, sit in the back and walk right back out, you can do that. But if you want to be included, you're going to have to do a little bit more. You're going to have to walk into the embrace. You're going to have to talk and say, hey, this is what I need. These are some things that are going on in my life. Chat with people. I also want you to know that it's important to me that if you want to be a part of this family, part of our inclusion is that you create a safe space here. And if you're going to be violent with words or actions, we want you here, but you're choosing something else. And we might say, well, a better place for you is maybe online. You're wanted, but if you're going to hurt people around you, we can't have that. So all does mean all, but inclusion is also a choice on your part as well. And that's the value of inclusion. Our next value is intentionality. I hope that you know that we do everything here as intentionally as we possibly can. We don't drift, we drive. Our mission, vision, and values guide every dollar and every hour. How's that working for you, by the way? With your life, are you living your values by the way you spend your time and the way you spend your money? If you say that your spouse is your number one value, your number two value, whatever you want, are they? Can you tell by the way you spend your time and the way you spend your money? If you say that God is your number one value, can you tell that by the way you spend your time and your value? I'm not judging you. I'm just asking you to reflect and think about it. Paul said, I run with purpose in every step. Are you running with purpose in every step that you take? At Whole Life, we want to run with purpose. We don't just randomly put songs together for the church service. I don't just randomly do a sermon every week. Well, let me think what I'm going to do today. I sit down and I reflect. I spend time thinking about what I need to preach about for you. And I'm not talking about the week ahead of time. I plan my sermons out generally about 2 years ahead of time. Well, how can you know what God's wanting to say to you? The same way that I know the week before. In fact, better, because when I sit down and I plan, I think, okay, I want to have a balanced spiritual meal for the people that I'm preaching to. I want to make sure that I'm not just preaching the same thing that they're hearing it, but if I am preaching the same thing, I want to make sure I'm doing it on purpose because it matters that much. You know, even the lighting scheme up here, we think about that. What's going to not distract you and help you focus in? There's a reason why the lights are at the level that they are. There's a reason why we do things at this church. We think it through. We're intentional. And you know what the intention is for? To bring people to the feet of Jesus. That's it. My concern is how can I bring the most people to Jesus? Because they don't need to come to Ken. They need to come to Jesus, and Jesus needs to transform them. So how can I intentionally make that happen? It's why we have a strategic plan. It's why if you choose to go to another church, if you transfer out of here, if you tell us we're headed somewhere else, we'll say, hey, could we do an exit interview with you? We'd like to hear what your experience was here. Tell us why you're taking off. Are there things that we could do better? Did we let you down? Do we owe you an apology? Or are you just moving across town because it's just closer to where you live? That's okay too, but we want to understand. We want to be intentional in what we do. We build our budgets and the way we spend our staff's time around this idea of what are we trying to accomplish and how are we doing it. Our next value is innovation. It's probably one of the reasons why I wanted to be pastor of this church the most, because this is a church that's just not afraid to try new things. We're not afraid to try a flippy. I'm just going to leave it there. We're not afraid to fail. Just like that. I'll give you an example. You see those little discs that I asked you to tap before? I would venture that we are one of the first Seventh-day Adventist churches in Florida and maybe in the North American division to put these up. We're not the only one now because other churches have come here and like, that's a really good idea. Let's do that. We're certainly not the first Christian church to do that. But we saw that and we thought, let's try that out. And then we thought, well, when we tap on it, where do you want you to go? Well, I don't really like the idea. Some churches just make it go straight to their giving page. And I don't really like that. That seems to me a little like you might get the wrong idea about why we're here. And so we talked about it. And one of the things we decided to try is we thought, what if we got like a digital AI assistant? When you tap on it, it pulls this AI assistant up and you could type some things in. So we said, let's try it. We tried it. Didn't work the way we thought it would. So we're not doing it right now. Maybe it'll come back sometime in the future, but it didn't work, but we tried it. And now I really like it. It takes you to that nice little link tree, and you can go through that. I love that. So that's what's working at the moment. But you know what? We're not just going to sit there and go, okay, that works. That's good. So leave it alone. We're going to say, what's the next thing? Can we do it better? In fact, the whole link tree was inspired because one of our church members texted me, said, I was at another church that has this, and this is the way they did it. I was like, oh, that is a better way than the way we're doing it. Let's do it. We want to innovate at Whole Life. We want to be trying things out because we serve a creator God who is creative, and we want to be creative too. God says, for I'm doing a new thing. See, I've already begun. Don't you see it? I'll make a pathway. There are so many different ways that we want to innovate, but one of the things I love is that we'll have church members come up and say, what about this? What about that? And we're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's try it. Let's try to resource it. Are you willing to lead? Let's go. Which takes me to my next value, involvement. We're a body, not a theater. You hear me? We're not here to come just once a week and be entertained. We're here to be transformed, to be changed, to grow, to be a body, to be together. Everyone participates. This is one of our values at Whole Life, that you participate. And oftentimes, I have people tell me, they're like, oh, I'm so busy. I'm busy volunteering at my kid's school, and I'm busy volunteering with the local Humane Society, and I just don't have enough time to volunteer at Whole Life. And I was like, but you are volunteering at Whole Life. No, I'm really not. I'm not helping out with Sabbath school, and I'm not greeting in the lobby. I help out at my kid's school. And I'm like, no. Remember when Jesus said, when you did it for the least of these, you did it for me? When you go volunteer at Habitat for Humanity, you're doing it for Jesus and you're doing it for Whole Life. That's volunteering. We're grateful. Now, do we need help inside of our church? We do. So I'm very grateful for those who are able to do that. But I want you to know that we consider service to be service. If you're serving in your community, you're involved, and we love it. We want you to be making a difference for Jesus in Orlando and around the world. Bible says in Hebrews, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and grow works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, but encourage one another. Membership at this church is not a status symbol. It is a call to action, to be engaged. It's the reason we have the big red bus out there right now, why we give you the opportunity to donate blood. Part of the intentionality, by the way, of our outreach at this church is that while there are a number of wonderful ways to serve, we did a very intentional look at our community and said, what is Orlando missing? And what we discovered is they don't need another food bank. They don't need another clothing closet. What they needed was a church that would come along and help link nonprofit organizations together and create linkage between these things. And so that's one of the things we do. And one of the big things that we do at this church, we have made a shift from working with homelessness that gets 90% of the attention of churches in Florida to the people that are about to become homeless. That's where we focus, not because homeless don't need help, they do, but they're getting help already from a lot of places. And what's missing is the people who are just about to become homeless. And we think if we could save, oh, say 55 families last year from being homeless, that's a good start. That's a good start. Because I'm guessing all of you would rather not become homeless than be helped when you are homeless. So we intentionally do it. And can I just say, it's not as, there's a word I want to use, but I want a flashy. It isn't as flashy as handing a sandwich. There's something very satisfying, right, about handing $5 to somebody who's on the curb. There's something satisfying about giving them food. It looks great. It's a little less satisfying having to put in the hard work of sitting with somebody's kids and tutoring them about quietly paying for somebody's bills. You don't always get attention for doing that. And all of you don't always see that. And you're like, well, why aren't we? But man, we're making a difference in this community. You're making a difference in this community. Because we're looking at what's needed versus what makes me feel good. Amen. We care about our community. That's why we're involved. So family, I've talked to you about our values. Are you in? If you are, will you say them with me? We are. We are. We are. We are. We are. Now say them like you really make me believe that you really believe them. We are. We are. We are. We are. We are. All together. We are all in.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.